Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors, recording live from the studio in Jono's house here. We're doing our JLT Movers and Shakers show, who's moving up or down on our boards based on their performances in the JLT Community Series. Here with everyone on board, Jono, welcome.
G'day, Doss. G'day. I mean, Statesman. Up to a flyer. G'day, Stephen. G'day, listeners. I think that's my first faux pas of outing the great man. And Doss, some handy editing will be coming through, I hope. And Steve, how are you, mate?
Well, I've had to leave Paradise, also known as Ararat, and I'm in Cranbourne, so I look forward to being attacked by about 17 African gangs at some point this evening. According to the Herald Sun, that's what happens in this fair city. But no, it's good to see everyone again, and loving life.
And this episode is brought to you by the Mock Draft site. mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au, but also someone else is here as well. His name is The Statesman. Welcome, Statesman.
Yeah, firstly, I need to say sorry to Fish, who's a friend of mine and a work colleague as well. I spent a lot of time to make sure that he got rid of Tom Rockcliffe from his keeper team, which he did delist last week, and he went out the week after with a 178. But I need to point out it was a great pod, and sorry I've been away for the past month or so, but great pod last week and my boys. But I do need to pick up on two things. Doss, your prediction for Bowes was 135 last week in the JLT. You're only 72 points off that. And Cam going to George Horland Smith, one of his boys, a total of 25 points, Cam. Now, he might excuse and say, oh, he got injured. He actually had 60% game time. 25 points, Cam. Great to see you all.
All right, so we're going into our hashtag hype of the week before we get into picking a few players for this JLT Movers and Shakers. And the hype of the week, of course, this week is Tom Rockcliffe, Steve.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to ignore when you've got the three biggest voices in the fantasy footy community in love with you. But Tom Rockcliffe did bang out 170 in the match with less pressure than I face when I come home from a night at the pub. So he everyone in this match took about a dozen marks. Tommy Rockcliffe did have the 40 odd touches, 9 clearances, so he's obviously getting a lot of midfield time. A lot of time, in fact, because he actually spent 87% of the match on the ground, which is a really big boost from his previous season, I guess, in Port Adelaide, where he was really struggling to get on the park with all those inside mids. So, yes, he'll be hyped, but he's going to be a tough guy to rank because, obviously, we've seen this ceiling before. We've also seen the bad, the ugly, and the inconsistency from Tom Rockcliffe, but certainly getting a lot of hype.
So, this is the JLT Movers and Shakers podcast. Is he one that has moved or shaken for any of you after this, or are we just still around the same point?
Hashtag off brand, he's entered my salary cap teams on the base of that one game. And it's only because we've seen what he's done before. So this is the first time I've actually seen it since he's been wearing that jumper. And I agree with Steve, and the points need to be downscale. There's no doubts about that. But when he's 66 points more than anyone else on that field, says to me, at the moment with Wines out, that there is the opportunity and chance for him to get more game time and to get back to his way. And I will say the eye test was good. He looks fit. It's the first time I've said, where's the Rocky puppy fat? Because it ain't there.
I almost think, though, if you're drafting next week, which is when I guess a lot of people draft, he's probably going to go now too early for anyone to be.
Yeah.
If you're in a league, say that's, you know, people are fans of the AFL Fantasy Classic like yourself there, Statesman, where I think he might go a bit too early now, maybe, that with this hashtag hype. So it's going to be really hard to point now to where to draft him, I think.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And he's moved up my board, but a lot of that also coincides with the fact that a lot of the midfielders who are in that, who were just in front of him, they're starting to, like, they've bobbed up with a couple of weak injuries, like Callum Ward. We don't know what's happening with Jack Stephen. These sort of guys, to me, were just in front of Tom Rockliffe. Now I've sort of put him just in front of them. I'm pretty cagey on him. He's probably, he's just such an AFL fantasy darling. I don't think he's going to do the same thing in your Supercoach leagues, but he really is, you know, he's the pig or whatever you want to call him. It's not out, not my term. I'm just, you know.
It doesn't look like he's eating like the pig at the moment, though, to be fair.
All right, well, let's get into our official list of JLT movers and shakers. And Jono, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, I'm going to kick it off with someone who's shooting up my board, and that is Christian Petracca. I had him ranked at 21 in AFL Fantasy and 16 in Supercoach. I was down at Casey Fields on the weekend, kept a close eye on him. He's played 100 minutes in both his games, so the time on ground there is there. James Harms has got the compound fracture there in his hand. They do say he will be right for round one, but hands can be a little bit funny. So we're going with the draft doctors, hashtag more mid time for Christian Petracca. I know Viney's coming back, but he's still in there. But it's going to come down to the splits. Is Petracca going to be 70-30, forward mid, 60-40, 50-50, or something in between? I think it's going to be 65-35. So I'm really happy with that, and build off someone who's you get maybe as an F3, F4, potentially go 90 this year.
Yeah, I've been pretty hot on him this year. I had him ranked in the teens, so I'm not surprised. I'll put it that way. I thought Jesse Hogan leaving opened up a massive void of goals and opportunity. He can win the contested ball at will. I'm just a big fan, so no surprises.
Mm, absolutely.
And I've got a question with the midfield time that they're talking about. Is he a player that actually needs that midfield time?
I don't think he does, but it certainly helps his fantasy score, especially when he's listed as the mid forward. He gets that mid-time bump. Like I said, going 90-plus as someone as an F3, F4, that's value for me.
I've seen him for a long time being Paddy Dangerfield 2.0, for want of a better term, and we know Paddy took a long time to actually hit his straps, and in fact there was other formats that were calling him Danger Mouse because he was always going to be the trap, where we know now how much of a fantasy star he is. But I will say, I'm just wondering, with the strength and the age of the midfield that Melbourne's got, are we actually going to see that transition into a full-time mid? I'm probably not thinking it's going to happen, but maybe we get that perfect balance where he's 40-50% forward and then bursting through the mid, so he's keeps his forward status for a long time, especially in keepers, but actually continues to score really well.
That's why, yeah, the 60-40 is probably about right where I've got him.
Yeah, I think he's like the Heaney type that we've sort of talked about off air a little bit here, about how it's almost like he's probably not going to be able to push the massive ceiling due to the fact that he won't be purely a midfielder, but the fact that he's spending enough time forward means you probably get him as a forward for a pretty long time. All right, Statesman, what's your first JLT mover or shaker?
I'm really scared because we call him Headache. But I will say JLT hype has made me really consider whether Heath Shaw should be in my teams and how far he should be going up the leaderboard when it comes to drafting. Because we all know he's over 30, and you know what I think of people that are over 30, and that it's most of us in this room. But with Williams, I thought that he's going to be the one that sort of steps up, moves on, and then you've got the Isaac coming through as well. But with Williams, he actually scored more than without Williams. So 119 in JLT1 with 78 minutes game time and 80 points from 88 without Williams. So that says to me that, and obviously the performance of the team in those two games were a little bit different as well, but I sort of see him now being in that primary mover out of defence for them, and it looks like he's the one that's going to get the bump from the kick-ins as well. So Heath Shaw right up the boards. I just didn't think after last year that we could see a comeback. Well, it looks like it's there. I know it's only JLT, but if I'm looking through my defenders now, that second tier I reckon is a bit muddy, to be honest. Is. And all of a sudden, he's gone from someone I wasn't really considering to be the top of that second tier.
Yeah, especially AFL Fantasy has never been his wheelbag, but Supercoach, he gets the kick in, gets the long kicks, running it out of rebound 50, but now he's moving up my AFL fantasy ranks too as someone I'm looking in the D2 position.
Yeah, I mean, I had him at 9 heading into the draft and into the JLTs. I haven't moved him. I always thought the kick-ins were going to be his and his alone. I will say I think the mark stats have been pretty inflated over the JLT. I think the like, and you might see that over the first month, but I think eventually the coaches will twig onto how to start to shut that down, as we often see when there's a rule change or a new style come in. The coaches take a little bit of time and then they work out how to shut things down pretty quickly. But I'm pretty comfortable to have him in that same range with, you know, Shannon Hearn and Zach Tui and Crisp and all that, and he might be at the top of that range.
I had Zach Williams, Shannon Hearn, and Crisp ahead of him. I would actually, now those selections come up, I'd actually draft him first.
I've still got Hearn in front. I'm pretty comfortable with that, but I'm not going to pick anyone's, you know, pick holes in it.
All right, well, I'll get to my first one. I don't know about with me for Heath Shaw. I'd be happy to let someone else draft him. Just the name is just scares me now. I just the age. I know you guys said it, and maybe that just is not a good way to approach it. But just having Heath Shaw on my team, just so scary about the age, especially he's not been like a Cade Simpson who's just never missed a game. Like Heath Shaw has sort of missed a few games, hasn't he, in the last couple of years? I thought he missed it.
Doing runners from car accidents.
But you look at Heath Shaw, and he might be the guy. Like, if you take Brody Grundy in the top 4 picks, and you miss out on those top defenders, he might be a guy who you look at who's got that upside when you're taking other guys like Crisp.
Can I say that I know we've discussed it a little bit before, but the more I see all of the drafts that I'm involved in, and I see Grundy going 1 or 2, it actually hamstrings their model.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm still thinking that, and I know Grundy is so good, but at the end of the day, rucks haven't been able to back this up.
No.
We've got new rules. We don't know what changes, and he actually may end up being even better than everyone else by a longer margin. We don't know yet. But God, it really hurts him on the way through. And I'm seeing some of the value that people are picking up the 2 picks before it comes back to that person that's picked Grundy 1 or 2.
I think another thing I'm starting to see with Grundy is that if there's going to be such an emphasis on controlling the ball, like the Hawthorn when they're in their prime, you don't kick the ball to your ruckman trying to move the ball through the middle of the ground. And they've added Dane Beams on top of this. Like, to me, there's a lot of risk associated with Grundy, because if you're drafting him that early, you want him to be that outlier.
Absolutely.
That has to be the outlier.
If captain's on and you've got picks 1 and basically 20, then he's your captain.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Lucky for me, I just realized I haven't had like a top 3 pick this whole draft season in any of my leagues, so haven't had to deal with that that issue all year.
Well, we were actually talking with a friend of the show, Costa, and he and I have picked 4 and 5 in our home league, and we were discussing last night what happens if Grundy actually falls to us. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm at pick 5, I'm probably more comfortable drafting him than if I was, say, pick 2.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay, so my first, mover or shaker. And I hate to do this because we've got to give a little, you know, nod to the head of Cam, who's been hot on him for ages, and it sucks. You can't do that, can you?
No.
But anyway, Brad Crouch is my first mover or shaker in the JLT form.
Still not on board.
Nobody's on board. Steve?
I'm tempted, I will say.
It's not salary cap hype with the scores he's pumping out, plus the fact that Adelaide looking very fantasy relevant. I honestly can't tell with Adelaide because everyone's pumping out juicy scores and I just don't know what's real and what's not real. So it's going to be hard in a draft league to tell what is real and what's not real and where to draft them, because we're seeing some other guys. I don't want to step on anyone else's mover or shaker because there's a few probably Adelaide ones out there. But Brad Crouch, for me, pumped out 2 monster scores in the JLT. Looks really good. And if he's fit, he's always one of these people that has been, that I'd argue, a few years ago on the, you know, if you did a 25 under 23 when he was in that bracket, he would have been like a top 2, top 3 guy in that sort of a thing. You'd want to keep him every year. He was pumping out big scores as a youngster. I just think now, if he's having this year and it's going to happen, you don't want to miss out on the big scores if it comes. And I think Cam, early in the preseason, was sort of saying he's going to be taking him in a lot of leagues. But at the point now with this sort of move, how high could he go? And would the height where he's going now with the injury concerns that we're all obviously worried about, is he at a point now where you can't draft him now, even if you were keen on him? Or do you think he'll fall in that sweet spot where it could be worth the risk?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of variance in drafts. So that's going to be, like with those players, that's always the case, because as we know, it only takes one person to buy in. I've moved him up to 30, and that's because it's in front of Ablett, in front of Taylor Adams. If he was a top five scorer, would I be shocked? Of course not. But I really don't want to buy in at that price.
As you said, Doss, that sweet spot before JLT was, that range was huge, but now that gap has come down to at least a 2 to 3 round range, I'd think, now.
Who goes first, Taranto or Brad Crouch in a draft? Because
I'm taking Taranto.
Yeah, I'm taking Taranto as well, but I reckon, you know,
but
there's
a good case for it.
I don't think it'd be shocking to see Crouch go before Taranto in some drafts.
No, well, there might be some people who aren't savvy on the Taranto fantasy scoring.
Or maybe that is also hype, because you've got to remember he's only going third year. He's only averaged 90, so Brad Crouch has averaged more than him.
Yeah.
But I think there's less risk with Taranto.
Less risk, and there's less hype behind Taranto as well.
And there's possibly a higher ceiling with Taranto.
True as well.
All right, Steve, your first mover. Okay?
Sorry, can we just say Dos poor?
Agreeing with Cam, off the show.
Yeah, so my first mover and shaker, another one moving up the boards. I'm going to have to nominate an old man here, Travis Boak. What can you say? I had him at 19 heading into the season. I thought he was just a pretty safe, you know, mid-high 80s average. Obviously, getting a lot of midfield play. I know Ollie Wines is out. Maybe that's playing into it a little bit. But you can't deny the scores. I've moved him up into the top 8. I'm not expecting him to go out and average 100. He hasn't, like, even when he was a midfielder, he wasn't regularly putting out that sort of number. I think he's good for a low 90, which I think is pretty nice, and that's kind of what you want.
Yeah, I think he does retain his mid. He plays midfield, because we saw Ebert in both JLTs playing as that deep forward. So Ebert there is just plummeting down the list for me, because he didn't do much to excite me. But Boakey, I spoke about him a couple of weeks ago, all about him. And certainly see him as a top 10 forward.
Yeah.
And I look at this now, just looking at our original rankings, and Jono was the only one that actually had him in the top 20, which is quite remarkable when you look at it. And I was, yeah, a long way away from that. I think I was the lowest at 24. But, yeah, you saw the game, and I know we talked, there were some easy stats in that game, but it's actually his role. Now, again, is this short-term? Is this the Ollie Wines effect that he's rotating a bit more or through? But I think they've looked at, they had to change something up, and Ebert seems to be the one that's moved forward, not Boak, and that seems to be the big difference so far. And seeing they're having a little bit of success, it might be something they stick with, and therefore Boak should be considered in the top 10.
Yeah, and some of that also comes back to the guys who I've moved down a little bit, who I'm feeling a little bit less comfortable with, in, say, Dunkley, Buddy Franklin, we haven't seen him, Toby McLean. So there's and Tom McDonald, there's a few guys who I'm feeling a bit less comfortable with.
Western Bulldogs list.
Tommy McDonald.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling more comfortable about Lachie Hunter. So,
could I just quickly touch on, because this, I mean, a lot of people have their drafts probably after this podcast, so there's probably not another chance to talk about it. But with the, I know you guys don't ever really draft to gain a DPP status. You can't really predict that, so you don't do that.
No.
But I want to just ask, with Brad Ebert, I see him always sitting there a lot later in drafts and as the mid option, but we're all saying he's playing forward. It's almost like, you know, people are taking Gary now potentially to think that he's going to play a little bit more forward. What sort of a forward, if we're just predicting Brad Ebert is now playing as a forward, what range could he be in the forward line, and would it be worth taking a punt on that? I know you don't like it, but because it's late, is it the worst decision to do?
Okay, on a free-for-all game, Brad Ebert, 97 playing minutes. in a game where people were scoring at ease and taking mark at ease, scored 46, so he is not ranked.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
Full stop.
Yep. Okay.
Poor question.
I didn't see his JLT
no,
score.
No.
I didn't
no,
see his
but
JLT
it is
score.
No, it is a great yeah. because you also don't know what mix he plays.
Mm.
And it was just the day that he, being a midfielder going, was the one that got the closed down defender on him. Mm. You just don't know.
If it's around 20, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I might see other options as being better, but if someone wanted to do it, I probably wouldn't argue.
Is there any other standout DPPs like you guys are noticing? Ablett's just the obvious one, just Ablett Ebert maybe.
I think Christensen.
Yeah.
From Brisbane. Might be someone who picks up defence.
Played a lot of time defence at the
And we've
Casey
seen
Fields
him do it
match.
Before.
Yeah. When are we going to see him lose DPP? Take it away from him.
That's going to yeah, fuck some won. People up.
We've been calling
oh,
that for
yeah.
years,
I'm going to hit up Warney and just going to get him to make the changes.
I've got the 15th best forward in the league. Oh, he's a midfielder only.
Yep.
Gonna love it. Is Nank gonna get forward status?
Yeah.
God.
All right. Who's up next? Sorry, I don't know my thing here. Jono, you're up.
All right. So I've got a faller here. I had him ranked pretty highly, and that's Ryan Burton. I had him ranked 25 in both formats, and man, he just has done nothing to excite me that he's going to be what we saw in his rookie year. It's just not a fantasy friendly role. Like we saw blokes like DBJ taking. Kick-ins and running around scoring at will, so I just don't know where to rank him, and he's going down the board and might be a late round flyer for me if he's still there.
He was a waiver wire pickup for me 2 years ago, scored really well, then traded him out, and it's been one of the better things I've done, to be honest. But I thought he was a dead set jet. There was talk about midfield, so I think he's one of those that in a keeper you hold and you just wait and you pray, because yeah. he has got the skills. And in second season, he scored in the 80s.
Correct.
That he's got some fantasy chops. It's just the role that's not playing out for him yet.
Yeah, exactly right.
I think it's a horrible team to be trying to establish yourself as a halfback in.
Oh, yeah. There's already 16 of them.
So, and you've seen, yeah, Jack Watts has gone back there. And,
I almost think in terms of just people moving clubs, often... I think we see the stars adjust pretty well, pretty quickly a lot of the time, because they get given that role because they're, you know, promised a really good role. Like Dylan Shield's going to move across. We're going to see him score pretty well. I don't know if he's going to be better or whatever, but I'm saying, you know, you see Tom Mitchell move from Sydney to Hawthorn and there's scores waiting there. But for guys that aren't your absolute gun midfielders or something, like a Ryan Burton who's a defender and the spot isn't there to just be like, here's a fantasy-friendly role, I feel like it might just be... And even some of the more fringy sort of midfielders, like we saw Jack Redden took 2 to 3 years to start becoming fantasy relevant at West Coast. I think maybe, like, I'll probably be happy to avoid the first year of a trade for some of these guys. Like, they're just arriving at the club. Some of the more fringe guys. I just think it takes a year or two to establish yourself, even as a young player. Like, Ryan Burton, maybe next year or the year after. I'd like to see some scores this year. I think it'll be good. But now, I was probably drafting him a few weeks ago, thinking, you know, 80, 85, whatever. Now I'm sort of like, maybe I'll just wait this year and just let someone else draft him.
I think at the end of the day, it actually, he is playing good football and people are noticing he's playing good football. He's just not playing good fantasy football.
Yeah.
And it's, every club's a little bit different. Always keep your eye on new players to see if they're coming into a role that's actually fantasy friendly. And Tom Mitchell was a classic one of that. We know... The coach was more impacting on his fantasy scoring than anything else, having tagging roles, having forward roles. As soon as he got to Hawthorn, they needed those midfielders. So it's actually keeping the eye. Don't be warned off of people changing clubs, but just be mindful if they're moving into a fantasy-friendly role.
It could also just be the Matthew Broadbent factor that he's not playing, and once he comes
Correct.
Back in it, happy
All
day.
All will be solved.
All right, Stacey, what's your next mover or shaker?
My next one is a very sad statement, but this is a falling star in my eyes at the moment, and it's a little bit disappointing because you guys know how big I've rated this guy for such a very, very long time, and that's Lachie Neale.
Whoa!
Yeah, and it's about, again, what he is doing in that midfield. He's got midfield time, that is fine. I was expecting that he'll be freed up and didn't have to play so much just the ball inside role and could play the link role that Dane Beams once had there. We actually know, if we look at the score build for Lachie Neale, that his gun year, which was the 110 year, he became the link player. So he was inside and outside. So his marks were higher and therefore his kicks were higher because he was finding in space. So yesterday's game, he had 2 kicks and 24 handballs and 1 mark. That is really concerning to me. Now, I hope this has changed because I'll keep the faith long term with Lachie Neale. But as you can imagine, from me thinking he was a top 5 midfielder only 3 or 4 weeks ago, that I'm in a rather sad state, as you might be able to tell from my voice.
There was no Dane Zorko in that match as well, and he was pushing up and down the ground, Lachie Neale. Doss and I were at the game, but they just weren't going to him. Like, kick it straight over his head and they're looking for other options. So not like he wasn't trying, but I still think...
So is it a game plan? Don't kick it to Lachie. He has to earn his own football.
Yeah, he does. Inside mid only.
Well, that's not going to be good for his scoring, and that's... I'm a little bit concerned.
It could change up.
So here's a down. So Coniglio is the one that I keep on looking at going, he's really, really impressed me. So he's certainly... Him and my next guy have moved past Lachie. So I've picked him up at number 10 as early in my drafts. Unfortunately, it'd be second round, maybe third round right now.
Can I say, like, with Lachie Neale, with his best ever score that he had, which was like why you'd be high on him, 111, I think it was a few years ago, when, and there was a stint where Fife was out that year where he just carved. But I just remember being... The reason why I've never been super high on Lachie Neale any year in terms of just like, I know that he's going to give you what he's going to get, like 100 sort of weekly sort of thing, but never the next level that I'm after for that really high pick, is just because that year that he did that, he set at the time, I think he set the disposals record. Yep. And it's all, he's one of these players that he'll get you 120, 130, but it's like, you know, that's when he gets his 40 or 38 touches, almost... A bit like, he's like Matt Crouch without...
Correct.
When Matt Crouch sort of... I think Matt Crouch has shown some signs, you know, tackling a bit more and stuff, which is very interesting from that perspective. But if he's just getting you 36 disposals and not much else, he's going to need to get those stats to put up huge numbers. And yeah, I'd be worried because you just need... As sometimes Brisbane probably aren't going to have that great of games. They're going to have ups and they're going to have downs. And if he's not getting his 33, 34, 35 disposals, then it's going to be harder for him to get those big scores.
He's had the ability to be an M1, but what he's given us in the last 2 or 3 years and what looks like is heading again this year is actually an M2.
Hmm. What about Supercoach? Is there any difference in Supercoach? Because still a contested beast.
He's been good. Yeah, he scored 110 again last year. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think, is it me that is up now? I think it is. I'll have to get my little...
Third or fourth person?
Google Docs out. And I'm going to go...
I remember when we recruited you, Doss. It was because you were organized.
Yeah,
you
very prepared.
Yeah, I need my laptop here. I've got my little phone. I'm struggling.
You're staying in the moment. It's more than the dining table.
He had one job, bring his laptop.
I told him to bring the laptop.
Yeah, left it at home. Okay, all right. My next one I reckon I'm going to go with him. Mover or shaker. And I'm not going to steal your guy, I don't think. But he is your boy. And that's Harry Perryman. Mover or shaker. I think you put out a little tweet the other day, Steve, about how you'd be happy to take him late in drafts. I think you'd be very happy to take him late in drafts. He's going to be, I reckon, pushing that 80 plus now as a defender eligible in the ultimate footy format. So I think from a perspective of it going from a risky pick to maybe a very savvy late pick, that's my mover or shaker. It's definitely, now I'm not so worried about it. I think he's definitely got a nice role. He's going to be going through the midfield, which is why you've had him as such a great young prospect. I think I don't want to take, the risk is I'm taking a bit too much out of it without your Kelly in there and without probably a few more mid rotations. But
why I think it's not a bad strategy to take him is because Ward's missing, so they might shift Kelly more inside I know they play different roles, Perryman and Ward, but he might just be able to give you a good 3 weeks. You might be able to package him up and trade him off.
Yeah, okay.
And if he, look, if he plays well, he's not going to lose his spot, is he?
No. So. He's kind of one of my two... This hasn't been a mover or shaker. This is why I've been a little bit high on Bowes, is because I think Bowes will be playing predominantly midfield, and he's got, in the ultimate footy format, he's got the defensive status, which is awesome. So, you know, the potential to get that 80 super late in drafts as a defender just makes it a lot easier earlier on in the draft.
And ball magnet early in his senior career through the lovely competition that is the NEAFL. And had a great apprenticeship through the national championship. So heading into his third season, he's a classy Ben Keys. Seeing Ben's not getting the opportunity.
Oh, drive-by. No, well, we brought him up the other day. It was like a thing. Like, you know, how good are you when you're not playing?
Yeah, yeah. No, very true. And he's going to get a lot of opportunities, not only because of the players out, but he was already in their best 22. So he's just going to get more opportunities with Ward out now, so expect him playing a bit of a role on the wing as well. So he gets some inside time, but he'll predominantly play as an outside player and a bit of class. And I think an 80 average is probably on the mark, and it's a good breakout for him.
Yeah. The reason he's only a mover or shaker for me is because he wasn't so much on my radar as a selection this year. It was more like, oh, maybe, you know, in the future he looks really good and up and coming. But now it's like, oh, could he be a great option late in drafts now? So he's kind of moved into my thinking a lot more now as being a legitimate option. All right, Steve, who's your mover or shaker?
So I'm moving down Andrew Gaff. So I've moved him from inside the top 10 to 14 in my AFL fantasy ranks. And it's really nothing to do with him. We know he's missing the first 2 weeks, and that plays into it. But I've become more convinced of some of the other guys around him. Like, I've become more convinced on Clayton Oliver. I've become more convinced on Rory Sloane. I've become more convinced on Angus Brayshaw. Those guys aren't missing the first two rounds, and they're, you know, potentially captainable players as well. So nothing to do with Andrew Gaff, although he has, you know, last year was obviously a banger year for him, so I'm still quite comfortable drafting him. It's just at a bit of a later stage.
I also do believe that the rule changes have made the strong bulls inside mids with pace, so your Dustin Martin, your Patrick Dangerfield, even more important. So on the centre bounces, so that when the structure is in play, most of the plays of when you get control of footy is to kick it long and get it inside the forward 50 because it's one-on-ones. So previously, they used to get a lot of pressure coming into the square because you could set up your defence and your forwards elsewhere. So part of the option and one of the releases was to go wide. So I feel that the traditional wingers and the outside midfielders have potential to have less plus sixes.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think he should be fine.
Agree.
Like, you know, I mean, I look at West Coast and they have a strong defence. He's such a good runner. He'll obviously be attracting plenty of the ball. Maybe he takes a little hit. Maybe averages 100. That's fine. I've got no beef with it. But again, just the other guys I'm more convinced with. And, you know, two games is two games. I don't, you know, that could be the difference between finishing top two and having a week off and in your fantasy finals and
playing an elimination final.
Or being in an elimination final. Absolutely. And that's huge.
Yeah. West Coast are actually pretty interesting to me as well, just in terms of the midfield mix particularly, because aside from Gaff, and because these first two games are going to be kind of weird for where we see them going with Gaff in the team as well, so it's almost like we could come out and see, you know, Elliot Yeo and Dom Sheed and whoever else have huge first couple of games, and then all of a sudden Gaff's back in and it's like, are they still going to keep going? And people might be trading him out all of a sudden, and then we might also see a bump from Shuey. It's like, I don't know where the hell to put them. I just think, for me, I think the only one that I'd be pretty comfortable drafting, actually, well, there's a few, but Elliot Yeo's, I think, the one that's just going to be solid. I don't know why. I feel like doesn't have as much respect as we should be giving Elliot Yeo. Is everyone... He's going... I don't know.
I got him top 10, and I drafted him in the second round of a league the other day, and I felt like
just doesn't feel right. it doesn't feel good.
It's fine.
And it doesn't feel good, but it is good.
I think. I think he's great. He scores in so many different variety of ways. Like, he's the contested guy, absolute beast, lays tackles, takes marks, kicks goals. I think, you know, even
kick to handle. I love his kick to handle ratio. Always looking to put it on the board.
I'll say this: like, I was looking at, you know, when Gaff missed games last year, you know, he scored fine, but he still scored over 130 in the two games before Gaff was out. So, I mean, this guy can score with the best of them.
All right, who the hell was up next?
I think it was me, and my last one is an up. And I will say, the reason why I had him so low, and it's fair to say all of us had him so low. In fact, I had him as the highest, would you believe? But 11, 12, 13, 18 was how we ranked this person. And now he seriously needs to be considered in the top five. And I will say mine is a bit of a minus DPP bias. And that is against Angus Brayshaw. Who JLT hype, I know, but two amazing games averaging 145 over the JLT series. And you two saw him in the flesh yesterday. What was it like?
Fucking brilliant. Enough said. No, he was amazing in that midfield. If it wasn't Oliver, it was Brayshaw. If it wasn't Brayshaw, it was Oliver. Them two are going to be working in tandem fantastically this year. Whether you can get them both, though, is another question. We know Oliver's shooting up the board. His shoulders are fine watching him at the game. So he's now... I had him in the second round there, Oliver, and same with Brayshaw. Oliver's certainly in the top 10, and Angus Brayshaw right on the cusp for me now. Could be that 8 to 12 bracket. That'd be perfect for me, for Angus Brayshaw.
I'm starting to see that top 8 mids are pretty well damn exciting, to be honest. The only one that is not in that mix at the moment is Kelly, but we all know how good he is. It just all depends how long he takes to get into his season.
I'd just calm the farm. Like, I've moved him up. I've moved him up to number 8, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. Like, they're still missing Jack Viney, right? Like, I sort of say, you know, market share is a bit of a thing.
No doubt.
Jack Viney's a very good player, so let's just...
He's definitely a mover and shaker for everyone though. Like, he's not getting. Will he get past the first round in many drafts now?
Gus will.
Going next week, though?
Gus will get to the second, third round.
Oh, I reckon he has a range where he's going to go in the first round in some, and he won't.
He'll go in first, and yeah.
Well, in Supercoach, he probably won't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Supercoach. But
I don't know. Is it 12 teams? Is it 14 teams?
Yeah. Okay.
Is it 10 teams? Because he's probably in that range, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's starting to put facts in the story, Doss.
Actually,
people have never seen that.
With Gus, I was thinking the other day. This is. I'll try and keep this not long winded, but I was thinking with the guys that can go 120. You know, we've sort of hypothesized about it. Who's going to go 120? Who's going to go 120? I think the formula for 120s in the past has always been obviously a massive accumulator, but I think there's like almost a number of, you have to hit these numbers and go a little bit beyond it. I think it's like 35-5, 30 disposals, 5 tackles, 5 marks. And I think Gus is 100%, that's what he is. Like, he's a great tackler who can exceed 5 a game. He gets out uncontested for the marks, and he can just rack up contested and uncontested pills. I just think he ticks all those boxes to be that the biggest chance to go to the next level and get up to 110, 120.
Does he have another box that can get ticked that he can handle the tag?
That's the huge question. And that is why I think I definitely didn't rank him higher earlier in the year, is because I was so concerned about that. And last year, I think there was only one time that I said to you as well, Tom Phillips and him almost tagged each other and they both got 40. So it's like... Yeah, who are you going to tag at Melbourne? If you do tag him, it'll be interesting this year to see what happens. But next up, Jono.
Yeah, so my last player, he is moving up my board. That is Jago O'Meara. I've watched him Yeah, Steve called it really early preseason.
He did.
I've had him in the mid-20s, a little bit later in AFL Fantasy at 28. He is now in the teens for me.
Whoa.
I'm so... super hot.
Wow.
Watching him against that Richmond game, he was there and everywhere. We have seen him early on in his career before the knee injuries. He could score at will. He was the perfect guy. Like, he is the perfect guy. Look at the rig on him. Jesus.
He's the perfect guy.
Like, none of us have abs and guns like him. I've got a man crush. He is fast becoming my boy. It's Jager time. Like, and he's Jager time. His ADP is seriously unders at the moment, I think. At the moment, 61 for AFL Fantasy and 83 in Supercoach for a bloke who's probably going to go well over 100 because he has no competition in that midfield. He's got a 45-year-old Sean Burgoyne. You've got Ricky Henderson, can be a bit flaky. Yeah, you've got Liam Shields and Isaac Smith and Dan Howell. What the hell is he doing? So it's all Jager for me.
Yeah, no, what can you say? It's perfect. Sure boy. Yeah. Where does, and as usual, Jono just sees what I've done, goes, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll just move him two spots in front so I get in.
You know how it works.
All right, Statesman, who's your last?
I've done my three. Heath Shaw, Angus Brayshaw, and sadly, Lockie Neal.
I'm really organised here, guys, as you can tell. All right, I'm going to go with Dylan Sheil. I said a few weeks ago, I didn't think was worth drafting where people were drafting him because of the overrated hype of him being in a new team. I actually think, based on what I've seen, I actually am moving him up and am happy drafting him where the range that he was kind of going, because I think close to 100 is actually what he'll average now after seeing what he is doing in JLT. And it's mainly because I've actually sort of reevaluated the fact that he's left guys like Cogs and Kelly and going into guys like Merritt and Heppel, Merritt down on form and Heppel and stuff. I think he actually can get a score better. He's scored pretty well per minute in the JLT.
I'm going to stop this argument and the points very quickly. The reason why his points per minute are correct.
No tag? Okay. Well, then I'll quickly do my last one. Jack Higgins. He's been scoring really well. I think he's going to be a nice late pick. And with confidence now, you can go, I think, 80 to 85 this year. I think it'll happen. I think we're talking about a bit of like Kane Lambert now. Do you want to just quickly talk about what you talked about before off air about Kane Lambert and how?
Yeah, and it's a little bit of the gaff talk. I think the contested boys are actually going to get more of the footy this year, and that's what Jack Higgins in, even though he's a little tacker, he's a contested ball getter, but he's very smart, and those are the types. So you see a Kane Lambert that runs from one end of the ground to the other end of the ground, they are effectively the receivers. And the receivers are actually going to find it hard in the 666 model. And that's what I'm seeing at the moment. It's only from the JLT sample. We know things will change and coaches will look at different models. But I see a Kane Lambert probably coming down the scoreboard and Jack Higgins types coming up. And as we're speaking, a type like Dunkley, I think, should do very well for his game. I think Bontempelli is going to be very similar. So those type of contested ball winners, I think, will do very well in this model. And potentially for Supercoach, key position forwards.
Mm.
Less third up.
Huh?
Your last one.
Yeah, well, my last one is I've actually really just joined the party. I had this player particularly low. Heading into the, well, not particularly low, but probably lower than he should have been, heading into the JLT, and that's Wayne Miller from Adelaide. So I've joined the party. I've moved him up to D24 in the NFL Fantasy model. Been particularly impressed with him. 29 touches, I think, on the weekend, going at 100%. And the thing I've really liked is we've seen so many of these players scoring well, like you mentioned Angus Brayshaw, scoring really well without maybe one of the main mid pieces in there. Wayne Miller is scoring these scores with Brody Smith in the team, with Duve in the team, with Laird in the team. So that's impressing me. I've got less hesitation about drafting him, and I think he should be a solid player. Can he move up 24? Is it D3? Can he finish high? Of course he can. That's I'm certainly very comfortable drafting him, whereas before I was just going to miss out.
What do you think your average?
That's probably, you know, he probably has a really high range, doesn't he? If I was to say he was going to average 85 to, I think that's a pretty fair ballpark. You know, maybe 5 points either side of that. Probably looks like at the minute he'll score over that, but you know what happens during the season, to get a knock in one game and get tagged in another game. Do you think the forward tag will come back a bit more?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think on the contested players, I think they already get that body-on-body work. So it's the ones that are really quick. I can see that they're going to try and outsmart, and you do that with the high body work. I'm trying to think of a really good example, but a Jack Billings might be someone that gets a lot more attention than he previously had.
I'm just trying to think of, like, if you're forced to start six and six, instead of being, you know, having that loose man in defence, maybe that when it's matched up evenly, that forward player who's now extra forward is actually player.
So I was looking the other way. It's a strong possibility, isn't it? Because it's the only way that you can defend against in an unorthodox way rather than just getting the pill yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, a Lachie Whitfield, you know, being manned up. Yeah.
Maybe those teams like Sydney who have really just the prime mover of halfback. You know, obviously Adelaide have a few weapons, so maybe they're harder to tag. But I just remember what used to happen to Heath Shaw whenever they played Angus Monfries, and he just absolutely annihilated him.
With Adelaide, and we did mention it just before, but you were just saying that they pretty much did play a pretty strong team in both the JLTs. I know probably the opponents they're playing maybe didn't, but I think they did have pretty similarly, like Port played a reasonable side and Giants played an okay side. They had 5 tons in the first game and 7 tons in the second game, Adelaide. Are they just bounce back on a, you know, on a mission fantasy relevant this year? Or is this a big hype thing that it sounds like we're bouncing up a fair few players. Sloan, Crouch.
Because they're all
Millerer,
coming in at unders.
Smith.
That's why.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They did have a shocker year, so there is expected a bounce. Maybe JLT's made
Jacobs,
it look a bit better
like everyone.
Than actually it was.
Are we going too hot on Adelaide?
But also, if the new rules are going to suit teams with great skills, Adelaide have great skills.
Yeah, and great contested players and great tools. So they've got some really good tall options.
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing it. I think it is just...
Hams boy.
But the first iteration of like my off-brand team had 3 Adelaide midfielders in there, and they're all coming in at unders, huge unders.
Yeah.
So I think we've spoken about Rory Sloane. We just love him. Like, he gets no hype because everyone focuses on the Crouches for some unknown reason. Bizarre.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, I think Jono's going to read out some new reviews because Stevie's about to be willing to grab that Guernsey pretty soon after we hit the 140. We are at 135 already, so he's going to go get the Bailey Williams jersey, get it signed.
Have you got an idea? Have you got a plot for the story you're about to have to write?
It's not going to happen. We're getting there.
I feel pretty comfortable.
Do you know when round one is, right?
I feel pretty comfortable about winning this bet.
Do you realise he's got the password so he can actually just delete them?
I feel pretty comfortable
about
winning this bet.
5 reviews in... It's like 2 weeks before the first round.
No, we'll just wait and see.
5 reviews.
Mate, we will wait and see. And I will win this bet. And you will be writing my child a fucking story.
Well, there seems a lot of mixed... We had 10 reviews this week, so thanks everyone for...
10 reviews this week.
Just this week. So that's a lot.
10 reviews.
Yeah.
That's good. I feel very comfortable about this. Doss, don't worry about it, mate. I've got this covered. It's all good.
Well, this is from Go Balls Deep. He says, love the show, guys. Great insight and banter. But if he hears any more George Holland Smith mentioned as an option again, he's done. He's out, so...
Lighten the man.
Yep. If you're coming to Dream Team Talk, hit us up tonight and maybe hit Cam. But this is from Double D. He says, it's got to be a slab for Dossie. Great podcast. Seems to have loosened up a bit this year, which I really like. Has gone up a level thanks to Doss jumping over from the Fantasy Hour. Good luck with your bet, Doss. If that's a mate of yours, then that's not included, and we're going to delete that one.
Mates.
Steve, I think you put this one up on the Twitters, and that's from Andrew Music and Footy. He says, in adding HK Doss to the pod, the Draft Doctors are having a breakout season. Doss's dulcet tones are music to the ears after years of Jono putting me into a monotonous slumber for many episodes. I am torn about the 140 bet because Steve gives the GOAT advice. However, the pod deserves the recognition. A nod to Statesman 2, as his advice is always on point. Cam is a genuine spud. Where did you find this guy? Fortunately, he and Jono both provide an amazing source of banter, even if it is often at their expense. Thanks, guys. And the last one.
That's got to do.
Just one. This one as well. It's from Scratch the Titch. I signed up an iTunes account just so I could give a 5-star review in support of the boys in their quest for hashtag 140 reviews by round one. Love the pod and love the banter between the dulcet Doss, jovial Jono, surely Steve, silky Statesman, and complimentary cartons Cam. Really impressed with the mock site. It is worth every penny. Keep up the good work over the 2019 season. So, love the reviews. Keep them coming. I might have to delete a couple just to keep Steve in this one.
Should we just clarify? I don't know if we've actually said on the podcast 100% what the bet is, because it was sort of over Twitter. So
when I win the bet, if we don't get over 100, and what happens if it's on 140? That means we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got there. So if we get over, if we get 140 or more reviews, then I have to go. When I'm in Adelaide at the end of May, I have to go down to the Glenelg Footy Club to buy an infant sized jersey, which, according to the online shop, doesn't exist. So great work,
custom
there.
Made. Gonna get it custom made.
A lot of research going into custom made, because I'm the poorest man in fantasy footy. That'll go down real well, Mrs. Fizz. Hey, why'd you spend $200 on an infant jersey from fucking Glenelg? And what's with the sponsor, Gliderol? It's written down the front. That's South Australia's favourite lube. And then not only go to Glenelg to buy this jersey that doesn't exist, go to a Bulldogs match or training and get Bailey Williams, who I don't really know what he looks like, so that's going to be fun, and get him to autograph it for me.
And also, I think I need to add a selfie in there too.
Oh, fuck.
I need to add a selfie.
I'm not, it's bad enough getting a grown
man. Are you not
man's.
That confident that you're going to win?
That's fine. I can do that. Selfie. Add the selfie. Not a problem. Add the selfie.
Not just a keep problem. On adding DOS.
And so if we don't get to 140 reviews, you have to write my small human a picture book and illustrate it.
Yep. Which I will do.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen.
So get cracking.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. We'll be going to the traders pretty soon. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.